Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. When you're the one who has to say,
"You're fired,"
today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter. You are joining us today, August 3rd, 2026, for day one of our management article for the month of August. It is called Delivering the Worst News at Work. It will always feel personal when firing someone. So we have this article today, a two-day article, so we hope you'll join us for both days. And as the headline, pretty explicit there, pretty clear, lays it right out there, when you have to deliver the worst news at work. And I'm interested in reading about this article and talking about it with you listeners, talking about the English, helping you to grow confident in your English, because this topic is normally addressed from the other side. It's normally addressed for when you get fired or let go or downsized. There's all kinds of words to describe it. But this article will focus on when you're the one who has to do that, when you're on the other side of the desk, as it were. So we'll talk about that, read it through, and of course, by we, I mean myself and my co-panelist, Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Peter. It's great to be on the program.
Good to have you with us, Rebecca. Rebecca, you've spent some time in business, I know, before you came to ORTV, and even while you're here at ORTV. Have you ever had to lay someone off?
I have never had to lay someone off. I've never been in human resources, I've never been in HR, and I've never been in a position to lay someone off. But I have been at the receiving end of being, well,
let go.
Straight to it, let go, fired, because my boss left the job. She left the job suddenly. And then I was also out of a job because of that, because I was her executive assistant at the time.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, good. You'll bring some depth to our conversation here. I personally have never had to lay someone off. The closest I could come to that is back in my theater days when I was an actor in New York City. I once chose to drop out of a play that I'd been cast in. It was a good part, but it was a good time in my career at that time, and another part had come along that seemed even more promising with a better company and for a variety of reasons, and I pulled out of the first play. This was just a few days into rehearsal, so it wasn't like opening night. I pulled out of the play or even well into the rehearsal process. So it was also not a paid job, so it was, you know, that kind of cushioned the blow, but, you know, I still felt uncomfortable having to know that I was disappointing someone. They had auditioned people. They had cast me in the part. They thought I'd be good for their production. And a couple days into the rehearsal, I had to say, "I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go." So there are strong feelings about letting people go, delivering bad news. And that's what we'll be talking about and thinking about here while, again, at the same time, learning some English, reviewing some English, and listening to English being spoken. We're glad that you're with us for this. We encourage you to open your magazine, your trusty Advanced magazine, to the management article, if you have not already, on August 3rd. We will do two readings today, and let's go into our first reading now.
Delivering the worst news at work. It will always feel personal when firing someone. Laying people off takes its toll. Going back 25 years, I can still remember every situation that I had to do it in, says Robert Kovach, a work psychologist and former corporate executive. The experience sticks with you, he says, because it's not just about operational stress. Have I filled out the forms? Made the calls? It's also filled with moral stress. People laying off their coworkers often feel a clash between their responsibility to their company and their responsibility to be a good person to the people they're laying off, particularly because layoffs are about a company needing to downsize, not always about the individual employee's poor performance. Though you may get feedback from higher-ups that you shouldn't feel bad for letting someone go because it's just business, you know deep down that it's not. It's all very personal, Kovach says. Maintaining composure throughout is key. But how do you?
All right, so right here in our deck at the beginning of the article, it will always feel personal when firing someone. What does that phrase feel personal mean, Rebecca?
Feel personal, it just means your emotions will be affected because you feel that you're dealing with a person. So your emotions get affected, their emotions will get affected.
Right. It's not something that you can kind of distance yourself from. When something feels personal, it feels like this is about me, Peter, or you, Rebecca, and not just two people. It becomes very individual when it's personal or when it feels personal like that. And then we have another phrase right in our opening sentence there. In fact, we have a bit of vocab and a phrase as well. Laying people off takes its toll. Can you walk us through that, Rebecca?
To lay someone off means to let them go. Or another way of saying it is just firing someone. It means you no longer need them at your company.
Right. And sometimes laying people off, as opposed to firing someone, laying people off can mean the person is let go because the company doesn't have a job for them anymore. They've reorganized in some way. Usually when you hear the expression fired, someone was fired. Technically, it means the same thing as laying off in terms of letting them go from their position of employment. But when someone is fired, it's more often used to mean that there was a problem with their performance. They just, you know, were not doing their job well, and they're going to put someone else in the job for whatever reason that is. So that's just a bit of nuance about laying off and getting fired. But that other part of the first sentence there, Rebecca, takes its toll. What does it mean to take a toll of some sort?
So if you take a toll, that means it has an effect on you.
Right.
Like perhaps you feel drained, like you feel really tired. And perhaps you feel, a lot of times when we say take a toll, we're talking about emotional exhaustion.
Right.
You feel exhausted emotionally.
Right. It's basically a figurative use of the literary meaning of a toll. A toll, a little bit of money that you pay sometimes in cities to cross their bridge or to go through their tunnel. You pay a toll. And in this case, the toll is an emotional toll that you pay by doing whatever this is and laying people off in this case. It takes its toll. You have to kind of pay a little emotional fee to do it. And then we meet in the second paragraph a gentleman named Robert Kovach, work psychologist and former corporate executive, and he makes an interesting point here. He says that the experience of laying people off is twofold. There's two parts to it, two different kinds of stress to it. What are those two kinds, Rebecca?
The first one is the operational stress. So when we talk about operations, usually in business, we're talking about the day-to-day work that needs to be done. So the operational stress is like, have I done all the procedures? Have I filled the forms? Have I made sure I followed company SOP? Have I made the phone calls? Like, have I done all the things I'm supposed to do in a normal human resources standard procedure, SOP, in a
right,
company.
Right, yeah. That's the operational stress, the sort of technical side of it, the paperwork side of it. But then there's this dimension to it he describes as moral stress. And the moral stress, as you can guess, is the emotional cost of it, the fact that there is a moral issue in making someone's life more difficult, you know, which is basically the end result here. And so there is, you know, even if it's the best thing to do for the company in this situation, nevertheless, it's hard to make life difficult for people. It's hard to hurt people. And so there is this moral stress in addition to the operational stress. And then in the third paragraph, our author tells us that people laying off their coworkers often feel a a clash, nice word there, means a conflict, a struggle between two things that are sort of crashing into each other. You could almost say crash, but instead you say clash with an L. And Rebecca, what though is the clash that people feel when they have to lay off a coworker?
Well, the first thing is the manager or the human resources person have a responsibility to their company. So in this case, it's your job to lay that person off. Perhaps your department, you need to cut people because your budget has been cut. So it's your responsibility, your job to lay them off. So that's on the one side. But then there's the other side where, as a human being, you actually feel bad for that person.
Right.
And perhaps the person you're laying off might be even a friend.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, you work for a long time in a company, a lot of your colleagues become your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then this person might be your friend, or if not your friend, at least you know them as an acquaintance, and you have to lay them off. So this is a struggle between, I need to do what my company asked me to do, but as a human being, I know that what I'm about to do is going to hurt the other person.
Right, right. And depending on your relationship, you know, that may mean more or less to you. If it's a person you didn't particularly like or get along with, then maybe this is not such a clash for you personally. But if it is someone, a close friend, a treasured colleague, then this clash can be very real. And right there in the middle of the paragraph, we see the word downsize. Again, another word for, a sort of word that is used to describe someone who's been laid off. They've been downsized, mainly because, as you can see, it says it's referring to the company, particularly because layoffs are about a company needing to downsize. The company's fortunes are such that they can't support as many employees as they used to. They can't pay as many, and so they need to shrink a little bit. They need to contract. They need to go down in size, downsize. And then it says, though you may get feedback from higher-ups that you shouldn't feel bad for letting someone go because it's, quote, just business, you know deep down that it's not. Higher-up, meaning someone who is higher up than you in the organizational hierarchy, your boss, your manager, or their boss. But that, I love the way they put it, just business in quotes. Does that remind you of anything, Rebecca? Any particular famous American movie?
Just business. You tell me.
Well, to me, at least, it's just two words, but it may remind some listeners of the classic gangster film, The Godfather, which follows the life of Italian mobsters in mid-20th century America. And sometimes one of the amazing themes of the film is that the gangsters treat being in the mob as a sort of way of life.
Well, it is a business for them.
They treat it as a business, right. They don't treat it as, oh, we're bad guys. You know, this is just business, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if there's a scene or two where one of them has to shoot the other and kill him, and he says, you know, hey, Tony, nothing personal, you know, just business. You know, and then he shoots him and kills him. But you know, they have gotten to a moral state where they regard the taking of human life as something that is, for them, just good business. It's good for the business because this person snitched to the cops or, you know, tried to harm someone else or was taking some of the money for themselves, something like that. But they can excuse the absolute worst kinds of moral behavior on the grounds that it's just business. And, you know, so you shouldn't take it personally. It's this, you know, crazy sort of absurd comfort that you hear mentioned and, you know, a justification, a rationale for all the bad things that they do because, you know, it's not that we're bad people, it's just business. And so that's become a bit of a catchphrase in American business culture and pop culture even in the 20th century because the gangster film was seen as a metaphor for the business life, for legitimate business life, and how sometimes, you know, people do have to be hurt, people do have to be fired because it's, you know, business is more important than feelings. Business is more important than morality at the end of the day. Not all businesses are like that, of course, but some businesses can be like that where anything is justified because it's just business. Anyway, we have one last vocab word there in our section here, right at the very last sentence. Maintaining composure throughout is key. Composure, what does that mean, Rebecca?
Composure just means you're calm. So it's you're in a state of calm. So you're peaceful, you're calm, and you're not emotional.
Right. Maintaining composure, if you have to fire someone, is key. It's, you know, one of the crucial pieces of being able to do this. So let's talk about some of the other crucial pieces in having to do the difficult work of firing someone in our next section now. Let's go into that second reading now.
Be clear about talking points. This doesn't necessarily mean having a script ready, as that can come off robotic or impersonal. But lay out some key talking points you need to hit during the conversation. Consult with the human resources or the company's legal department. You may be obligated to make certain statements about severance or explain the reason for layoffs in a certain way. It's worth making sure those points are covered, not just to fulfill the duties to your organization, but also to add some predictability to an otherwise unpredictable situation. Don't shock them. Everyone knows that there is a wrong way to lay someone off. When former Google employee Vivek Gulati prepared for a meeting one morning in 2023, he checked his email to find an announcement that the company would conduct 12,000 layoffs. The next email contained his personal layoff notice. Gulati shares how his manager learned about his layoff. He tried to enter an office building, and his badge didn't work. It was a rough way to find out.
Okay, so another key thing, we just talked about maintaining composure if you have to fire someone, but also, as we see in our first section, be clear about talking points. And this goes on to say it doesn't mean you have to have a script ready because you might come off as robotic or impersonal. You might sound like you're just reading a script instead of really relating to a person. But to lay out some key talking points for yourself that you need to hit, that you need to cover during the conversation. And it goes on to say that you should consult with the human resources or the company's legal department before firing someone. Rebecca, why should you do that?
Well, you have to make sure that everything you're doing is legal. And this is really important because if you do something, like in the event of laying someone off, if you don't follow the correct procedures, like whether it's your own company's procedures or the government standard for labor law, you could be sued. Mm-hmm. You'll be sued down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as the article makes clear in the next sentence, you may be obligated to make certain statements about severance or explain the reason for the layoffs in a certain way. Two vocab words there in that sentence. Rebecca, can you help us out with them?
Severance, I think of the show. There's a TV show. There's an American TV show that's been quite popular the past couple years, which is interesting, but it's called Severance. But severance used here means that when you end your relationship, usually talking about work relationship, when you end your time at this company, then they have to give you, usually we also, when we talk about severance, we talk about the package you get. We talk about the money you get when you leave a company that you've been working for a long time. So severance here talks about ending your time in this company, but also often refers to the severance package, that amount of money you get when you're laid off and it's not your choice.
Right, right. And so this is why basically you should consult with the human resources or company's legal department, is that you, as the person firing someone, you may be obligated, meaning you have to do something because it's the law or because it's company policy, your duty. It doesn't matter whether you want to do it or not. If you're obligated to do something, it means you have to do it. You may be obligated to make statements about severance. As Rebecca was just saying, the kind of compensation that may be offered to an employee who is let go, or interesting point here, or explain the reason for the layoffs in a certain way. You may want, the company may want, is laying off a bunch of people, but they want those people to understand that they're being laid off because of financial reasons, or they're being laid off because the company was taken over by another company, and that company is behind the layoffs. You know, it's kind of like PR, public relations, when the company wants the people laid off to understand the reason that they're being laid off. You might be obligated to explain it in a certain way, even if, you know, there may be other reasons behind it as well, but as someone still working with the company, you have to do it the way the company says to do it. So it says then that it's worth making sure those points are covered, not just to fulfill the duties to your organization, but also for another reason. What is that, Rebecca?
To add some predictability to an unpredictable situation. So it means that sometimes when we are in an uncomfortable circumstance, it's good to have some things that are predictable.
Yeah.
And something that's predictable is people can guess what's coming. It's not like it's not a big surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you're at the doctor and he tells you you need a shot. The fact that he tells you you need a shot and you see him take out the needle is for some people more helps them to go through the process better than if the doctor just suddenly without a word punches a needle into your shoulder and
yes.
just, you know, takes you totally by surprise. And it's like, wait, what was that? What's going on? What are you putting in me? No one likes getting a shot anyway. But if there is a certain predictability to it, that can make it easier to take, make it a little less unpleasant. And then in our final section, don't shock them. Nice, simple description there. It begins by saying, everyone knows that there is a wrong way to lay someone off. And we meet a gentleman then named Vivek Gulati, a former employee of Google. And Rebecca, why are we meeting Mr. Gulati?
Well, because we're going to talk about his experience in being laid off. So here he preparing for a meeting, and then he checked his email to find an announcement that the company would conduct 12,000 layoffs. And we often hear this from tech companies,
Yeah. Basically
like the Amazons, the Microsofts, Apples, like the biggest companies in the world. The tech companies, they tend to, when they want to lay off people, the numbers are often very, very big.
Yeah, I've noticed that now that you mention it. And it just gives you an idea of how big some of these companies are just in terms of their personnel numbers that they can, in this case, lay off 12,000 people, and the company can still function. You know, that's like laying off a small town, basically. But, you know, they've got maybe 100,000 employees altogether, and so they can afford to let 12,000 go for the sake of improving the company in some way. And yeah, interesting use of the word conduct there. In 2023, Gulati checked his email to find an announcement that the company, Google, would conduct 12,000 layoffs. We're not talking about the conductor of an orchestra here, the little man with the baton who guides the musicians through the piece. This simply means conduct here to execute, to perform, to do this thing, to lay off these people, to conduct a layoff is what the meaning is there. And Gulati shares with the author of the article how his own manager learned about his layoff. How did he learn about it, Rebecca?
Well, this is a hard way. Like, he tried to enter office buildings. So a lot of office buildings, you have to scan your badge to enter the building, and then his badge suddenly doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's a really horrible way. And the problem is, like, if it's me, I would think, it's just something wrong with the badge.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'll probably, you know, go ask IT or ask whoever is in charge of the badges. Hey, there's something wrong with my badge this morning. And wouldn't it be terrible when it's the IT person saying, oh, 1,000 people's badges didn't work this morning because you guys have been laid off.
Right. Then an IT person is basically being given the job of letting this person go, of delivering that news.
Yes.
They're in IT, you know, all due respect to IT, but that's a completely different job description than letting people go, a completely different skill set. And so one has to see this as a negative example, a wrong way to lay someone off. There was no conversation about severance, as we just read in the previous section, or understanding the reason for the layoffs. There was no attempt to add some predictability to an unpredictable situation. This is completely unpredictable. You go into the office that morning, your badge doesn't work. What's going on? Like you said, Rebecca, probably think it's a technical flaw. Mm-hmm. Go to IT, find out you're fired. You find out you're fired by going to IT.
Yeah.
You know?
That's such a shock.
That's a company that
that's
says
really
something.
That's really cruel, actually.
That says something about how that company regards human beings, to be honest. What's another way or something they could have done to just make it a little, cushion the blow a little bit?
Yeah, I want to go back to the example we just talked about, the difference between Gulati at Google and his manager. I think with Gulati's case, there's something about the sequence that feels more right. Mm. Because first the company sends out an email saying that it's going to have to lay off 12,000 people. Mm. Next, Gulati gets an email that says that he will be laid off. There's a sequence here, right? Mm. So I think it's kind of terrible that it's basically, maybe this seems like it might be the same day. But for example, if a week earlier the company had sent out emails saying 12,000 people will be laid off, and then in a day or two, I get an email saying I was laid off. It's terrible, but not that terrible because 12,000 people around the world are being laid off with me.
Right. Misery loves company.
Exactly. Misery loves company. I don't feel, because the thing is with layoffs, there's always our ego is somehow hurt.
Yeah.
We feel very sad because we feel that we're a good performer. What happened? Yeah. Why did they lay me off? But it feels like if I knew there were 12,000 other people around the world being laid off at the same time, it softens the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think the sequence is also very important.
Yes, definitely. That's one small thing that the company could have done here to just make it a little easier to take, adding, again, some predictability to an otherwise unpredictable situation. Hey, everyone, layoffs are coming. And, you know, not that that's always good news to receive, but then at least it doesn't just totally come out of the blue, as we say, totally unexpectedly. But perhaps unexpectedly or not, we must bring our episode today to an end here with you listeners. We thank you for joining us. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for day two of this sobering article about how to deliver bad news at work and perhaps a way to understand how to deliver bad news in any part of your life if you're ever put in that situation. So come back again tomorrow. As always, it'll also be a chance to practice your English and hear some English read out loud. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Rebecca.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.